of Luke one more time, one last time, that will be in Luke chapter 2 and verses 25 through 35. That which we have not yet discussed, we'll look at. So when you find that in your copy of God's Word, please stand out of respect for Him. And then we invite any and all of you who'd like to read along with us to do so, to read aloud, or to follow silently in your copy of God's Word. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse number 25. Ready? "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, thou lettest now thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." It's unfortunate that in order for our thoughts to be understood, we have to feel a little bit of pain at times. And Mary didn't know what that meant at that time. But the angel had told her. And I'm sure she marveled at what the angel said, but the Bible didn't say that she marveled. And I'm sure Joseph had marveled at what he heard the angel tell him. But now that the priest was holding Jesus in his arms, and now after the brand newness of Jesus being born, because it was many days after that they brought Jesus to Simeon for this dedication, now it was he quoting the words of God, and now it was coming to light. This is not an ordinary baby. The shepherds and the manger and the field and the animals and the flight into Egypt and then back to Nazareth, and then these wise men with their gifts and all these prophetic words, and now in the house of God, in the temple, Jesus being held by Simeon, these words came to light to Joseph and Mary. And that has been my prayer all week, that with whatever you've enjoyed through Christmas up to this point, however that the program last week made an indelible mark upon your mind and heart with the beautiful music and with the presentation and the decorations and all that you've seen and heard, may the child Jesus, may the Son of God, strike marvel in your mind and in your heart. And may we not just leave here in just a handful of minutes here and think to ourselves, okay, well, it was just another Christmas. It's been my prayer this week that in whatever you're going through, and there are some in here who are grieving, there are some who are very joyful. They've had their family with them, and normally they don't have that. There are others who don't know what's going to happen this next year. But can Jesus make all of those things better? Does he make all things well? Then that's what we'll pray for, that you would almost be the one holding Jesus in your arms, knowing God's going to take care of things because Jesus is here. Let's pray together. Father, we need this consolation today. We need this prize of the knowledge that God is alive. We need that hope. We need to hold on to it. We need to hold it dear to our breasts as Simeon held the hope of Israel to his. We need to look at Simeon and understand that consolation is a Christmas surprise, and yes, even a Christmas encounter. Father, I would ask that you do that to us today. If not in any other place than in our hearts. Yes, in our minds, okay, but in our hearts. And I pray that we will worship you as they did, and we will honor you as they did. And I pray that this Christmas season, right before the new year in the next couple days, will not end with anything other than praise to Jesus. And we ask this in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. In the Old Testament, we have these prophecies of the Messiah. We have the foretelling of the day when Christ would be born. We have all these, in some ways, innuendos, and in some ways, real specific prophecies of where Jesus would be born and what he would do and who would be involved and which tribe he would come from. So we have all these things to hold on to, and sometimes in the moment we forget about that. But in Exodus even, we find out that God had a plan for his people. And God had given to his people that they would circumcise that a child of theirs on the eighth day. Luke tells us that Mary and Joseph practiced this law to the Hebrews, this religious and ceremonial duty, and Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day after the mother's 7 days of uncleanness. Leviticus chapter 12, verse 2 tells us that a mother is ritually impure for 7 days after giving birth, but she then is considered ritually unclean from the blood of her purifying for 30 more days. It says this exactly: she may not touch any hallowed thing nor come into the sanctuary. Verse 5 says, but if she bear a male child, she shall continue in her ritual for 66 days. So after nearly 7 weeks, Joseph and Mary are ready to bring Jesus to Simeon, the pastor, and offer him unto the Lord. This was a special time. Who shall offer it before the Lord, the Bible says, for an atonement for her? She shall bring an offering as she brings Jesus. Verse 8 says, and if she be not able to offer a lamb, then she shall bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And we know that's exactly what Joseph and Mary did. They brought these 2 turtle doves and brought them for an offering because they were not wealthy. They didn't own a lamb, and they could not obviously afford one. And they brought this offering unto the Lord. Mary and Joseph did not own that which they needed at the time, so they did that which was permitted. And let me say that God is not looking for servants who own a lot of things. He's looking for servants who have an obedient heart. If you have an obedient heart, God will accept your sacrifice. The Bible says it's reasonable. And by the way, you are that which the Lord wants. He doesn't want your car or your house or your money in the bank. He simply wants you. And if you offer up yourself, he will gladly accept that as a reasonable service. Now, Simeon was a man of God, the Bible says, full of the Holy Ghost. He was now elderly, although we do not know his age, and I was somewhat surprised to find out, as I shared with my brother Fred, how that some theologians believed that Gamaliel may have been Simeon's father. Well, we know that the Apostle Paul was trained at the feet of Gamaliel, the foremost teacher of ceremonial and Jewish law. If that's the case, Gamaliel was still alive at that time, so though Gamaliel must have been extremely in his elder age, Simeon was old also. But we take that message or that verse, he was ready to die, sometimes possibly even more literal than what we should. But again, nobody knows exactly, but we know that he was not a young man. He had served God his whole life. But Simeon now was known as just and devout. And he was the kind of man you would want to present yourself, your family, your children to in the house of the Lord, somebody that you knew was close to God. Simeon was a man full of the Holy Ghost. What Simeon felt and experienced after meeting Jesus has been my prayer that you and I can feel, that we can do as Simeon did, and as we receive the Lord, that we give the Lord a song, that we give him praise, that we worship him. Simeon's song of blessing impacted Joseph and Mary in such a way, the Bible says in verse 33, that they marveled. They may not have been fully understanding what the angel said to them, but now that they were hearing it again from Simeon the priest, somebody that they knew was close to God, it started to sink in. This baby, our son, Jesus, is not ordinary. He is extraordinary, therefore they marveled. So I want to give you today a few things that if we'll consider, we may marvel at. We may come to the conclusion, wow, maybe that's something I need to do, or maybe that's something I need to be more like. Maybe in watching Simeon and how he handled Jesus, maybe we could be more like that. And in doing so, maybe we will get more out of this Christmas season. Maybe there's something else that God is wanting to say to us before we put away the decorations, before we take down the tree, before we do all those things and start a brand new year. Maybe there's something else for us to consider, to marvel at, before we end this Christmas season. And that is my prayer. All right. Well, the first thing I see, number one, Simeon encountered Christ because he was sensitive. He encountered the way that he encountered Christ and his reaction to it was because he was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I believe there are two main kinds of Christians. Both of them are saved. Both of these kinds of Christians, if we can put any in categories, are children of God. But even the prodigal son, being a child of his father, was not sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He had to come to the point where he was down at the lowest level before he came to himself. So there are Christians who are obedient, Christians who are not. Christians who are faithful, Christians who are not. And you're still a Christian, even though you may decide not to do right. We all have children, and we can't kick them out just because they're acting like children. There are children when they're good. There are children when they're bad. That's right. Even some of y'all's children get bad every once in a while. All of our children act out because we are children and we act out. All of us are sinners and we don't do everything right. But just not doing something right doesn't make you not a child of God. So every child of God, I could put in two categories. In my mind, in my heart, those who are sensitive to the Holy Spirit and those who are not. Because those who are sensitive to the Holy Spirit are led by the Spirit. Those who are sensitive to the Holy Spirit walk in the Spirit. Those who are sensitive to the Holy Spirit do not seek to fulfill the deeds of the flesh. Now, we still do. We still fall, and we still falter, and we still lose our temper, and we still don't do all the things. But there are two main groups of people in this room today. Those who are sensitive to the Holy Spirit and want God to lead them, and those who just maybe do not care. Simeon was a man who greatly cared about doing what God wanted him to do because he was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. What do you mean, Pastor? It says two things about this. Number one, he was just. If you are a just person, you care about what other people think about you concerning Christ. In other words, you want to treat them like Christ. You want to treat them fairly. How many of you believe that Jesus Christ was fair to people around him? You believe he was fair? You believe he fed people when they were hungry? He was fair. Do you believe he clothed people when they needed to be clothed? Of course he did. The Bible says he went about doing good things. In fact, it goes on to say, the gospel writer says that if we recorded all the things that Jesus had done, we wouldn't have enough books or libraries to hold it. Because he always went about doing that thing. So he was just and he was fair. Now wait a minute. There was times when he was curt. Times when he was sharp. Times when he looked at the Pharisees and said, "You're acting like the devil." Uh-huh, right. But does that mean he was unfair? No, he was very fair because why? Because they were acting like the devil. When somebody lied, he said, don't be that which the devil is, which is a liar. When somebody was trying to confuse somebody, he says, don't be like that. So Jesus, he was just and he was fair and he treated everybody the same. Isn't it wonderful to be around somebody who loves everybody equally as much as they can? Of course their family is first. Of course they're responsible for taking care of their own first. But they also have a heart for their neighbors. They also have a heart for other people. And they also want to help people. It's great to be around that kind of people. I think those kind of people are spirit-filled people, spirit-led people. That's the kind of man that Simeon was. But that's not all. Not only was he good or fair to man, but he was just and devout before God. There are philanthropists throughout the world who give money away, but yet do not have any devotion to God. So it's not important just to be good to man. You can be good to man and die and spend eternity in hell. But Simeon was just before man, and he was devout before God. He lived right. He was righteous before God. He had a devotion to God that was second to none. He lived in the temple of God. He served God day and night. He answered the call of ministry. And through good times and bad, when the government was for him and when the government, like Herod in his day, was not necessarily for him, he was faithful. Nobody could shake his faith. He was led by the Spirit, and we know these two things about this. He was just before man, and he was devout before God. So are we. We're either just before God or we're not. We may be good to other people, and yet ourselves have very little faith. Can I say to you that attempting to be devout before God and not treating other people right does not make you right with God? Because as we treat others, the Bible says, we are loving God. Do as unto others as you would have them do to you. And it's very important to you to understand that Simeon encountered Christ because he was just and devout. Verse 25, he says, behold, this is something that I want you to behold. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. So I believe the Holy Spirit is saying to us, stop and consider this man. Think about him, his life, his testimony, his duties, his responsibilities. Don't just slough it off as he was just there at the right time and he happened to be there. No. God wants us to behold this man, his personality, his demeanor, his spiritfulness. Don't just dismiss it as part of the Christmas story. Take note of it, because all of us could be a little more just to our neighbor and be a little bit more devoted for God, could we not? The Holy Spirit will help you with that. Verse 26, Simeon had been told it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit. Isn't it true that God is trying to get our attention almost all the time? He does it when somebody maybe almost hits us. It happened to me this week. Went through a stoplight and somebody else wasn't paying attention. Before I know it, I was almost sideswiped by somebody who was distracted in their driving. I thanked God for sparing me, and I thanked God for sparing that driver too. Because my vehicle was a little bit bigger than his. I'd have probably taken it a little bit. He probably wouldn't have done so good. On the other hand, we ourselves become distracted, and we sometimes almost cause an accident. So God is watching out for us. Is the Holy Spirit not trying to help us at times? Is he not speaking? But wait a minute. The person who's not sensitive to him is not going to be listening. We get so distracted. Life is that way, especially these days. So much to do, so much information, so many responsibilities, so much. That oftentimes we're not sensitive. We're not slowing down enough. I appreciate what my sister Asela said yesterday. I was a little frustrated. I helped them put in some French doors in their house, and it's one thing to hang one door, it's another thing to hang two that meet together perfectly in the middle. Especially for a preacher who only does that about once every 10 years. I'm not a Dave Campbell, a Finnish carpenter. I'm just a preacher. And about halfway through, after taking the door on and putting it, and taking it off, and putting it on and putting it off, trying to make these little changes, she finally said, Pastor, have you taken time to breathe? Oh, thank you for reminding me. I think sometimes we get so busy or overcome or frustrated that we think about everything except for that the Lord is trying to speak to us. And the Holy Spirit speaks in such small and still voice at times that we miss it. But it wasn't the case with Simeon. He was intent. His ear was leaned towards God. He was waiting for this. He was waiting for this message to come. He was looking forward to it. In fact, every day he woke up, it was like, Lord, is this going to be the day? Is this the day when Jesus is going to come? Is this the day? Do I get to have a part in this? What part do I get to play? Lord, you just showed me. I'll be waiting. I'll be listening. And he was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't it do us all good to be more sensitive and ready for the Holy Spirit to speak to us? Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. He came by the Spirit. Oh, wait a minute. I know a little bit about the priestly duties. They had to be there every day. But does every person who go into church, does every person who come into the house of God come in by the Spirit? Or do some people come to church just because it's a duty? Do some people come to church just because somebody else came to church? What are the reasons people come into the house of the Lord? Simeon came in with the Holy Spirit. Now, I can be honest enough to say to you, sometimes I've got too much on my mind and I come into the house of God not being led by the Spirit. Hopefully I go out being led by the Spirit. Wouldn't it be better if we all came in and went out with the Holy Spirit? He was sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. Simeon was not just in the right place at the right time. He looked for Jesus. Now, I can tell you this. It doesn't say that everybody that came into the temple was filled with the Spirit. It doesn't say that everybody that was there was ready to receive the Lord Jesus. We know at one time in Jesus' ministry, he went to the house of God, and the people there were buying and selling in such a way, it was all who can get the most money for this or for that, and there they were purchasing lambs and pigeons and turtle doves, and the Jews were taking advantage of the people who were coming from out of town and exchanging their monies inappropriately. And Jesus let them know how inappropriate that was. He grew angry, the Bible says. We've talked about this. It was a righteous anger. It was on behalf of the Lord. He said, wait a minute, God's house isn't to be made like this. It's to be a place of prayer, and you have made it into a den of thieves. So not everybody comes to the house of the Lord to do the right thing in the right spirit. But may we all become more sensitive that when we walk in onto the property and then into the doors of this place, that we're being led by the Spirit. Many were there in the temple, I'm sure, but not everyone encountered Christ. But all those filled with the Spirit did. Simeon was not just a believer, he was full of the Holy Spirit. We all have the Holy Spirit. Every believer, what know ye not that your body is the temple? But not everybody is filled. The commandment says in Ephesians 5, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled. And that's a constant thing. I know this. The men in of the men's prayer breakfast, we went to Golden Corral, woohoo, ate all that wonderful fat-free food, especially the deep-fried bacon. Got all done, started working throughout the day. All of a sudden, I was hungry again. I was ready to be filled again, even after that. Sundays are great. We come here and we get our spiritual bellies filled. But the Bible says, don't be satisfied with that. Be ye filled again. And then again. And Simeon, every day in his life, he was filled, but then he was filled again. And he continued to do that which were the Lord. So Simeon was not just filled with the Holy Spirit. It was a daily, regular, continual thing. Simeon was obedient unto God. And can I say this one last thing about this point? You don't have to be a young servant of God to be filled with the Spirit. Amen? You can be an older servant of God and still be led by the Spirit, filled by the Spirit, used of God. Glory to God for all of you who have lived many more years than Pastor James, as God has the next wonderful thing for you this coming year. He has great and mighty things which thou knowest not, if we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I see number two in our story here that Simeon encountered Christ because he was looking for him. Have you ever missed something because you weren't necessarily looking for it? And then you came back. And I was talking to a man who had just joined our Hernando Christian Ministerial Association. He said, "Pastor James, where is the church at? Where's Garden Grove Baptist Church?" I said, "Well, it's in Garden Grove." He said, "Well, where's Garden Grove?" I said, "You ever been down Route 41 in between Brooksville and Tampa?" "Oh, yeah, I go through there all the time." I said, "Well, you came right through Garden Grove." He said, "Oh, I didn't know that." I said, "Yeah." I said, "I have a sign out on the road." He said, "Oh, my goodness, I've been through there so many times, I haven't even seen the sign." I said, "We even have a 70-passenger bus out there." "You have a bus out there by your side? I never saw that." I said, "Yeah, we've got some flags that say welcome, and you can know that there's a church there. You haven't seen that?" "No, I haven't seen that." And the reason why is because he was not looking for it. I believe there are some folks who may be sitting in a pew or a chair in a church today who are there not being led by the Spirit, who will miss Christ at Christmas simply because they're not looking for him. The scriptures tell us that Simeon said, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, with which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." God did not bring Jesus in through a back door. He didn't sneak him in. It was prophesied. It was preached. It was announced. All you had to do was read scripture. All you had to do was go to the temple and talk about it and pray about it and talk to other Christians. The time was right. It was the time that he needed to be born. Everything pointed to it. And of course, there's that star and the wise men and the shepherds. Oh my goodness, what day? When is he coming? And those who looked for him found him. And if you're looking for him today, you will find. The Bible says, "They that seek for truth shall surely find it." The Bible says, "Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Seek, and ye shall find." God is not hiding. He's there if you're looking for him. Now, you will not find Christ if you do not believe. What you do not want and what you are looking for are two different things. If you say, "Well, I don't really want Jesus," you probably won't find him. But if you're seeking him and you want him and you believe, he will reveal himself to you. He personally looked into Jesus' eyes, Simeon did, and recognized the fulfillment of the prophecy concerning the Messiah. He saw what he was looking at. He saw it. You ever seen that thing? It used to be popular. Most restaurants you'd go to, in their little placemat, they had this little thing called "Where's Waldo?" You got to look for him because it was amongst all kinds of other stuff. I wonder if some people are so religious and they're looking maybe for Jesus in candelabras or in special programs or in a Latin service or in these different accoutrements, maybe in these different areas and different things and in high places, when the truth of the matter is Jesus came and was born in a manger. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. The little clothes that the shepherd would take and put around a little lamb. And because of that, people miss him. I believe if Jesus came into our church, he would look like us. The Bible says he made himself of no reputation. And we miss him sometimes because we're not looking for him. Simeon didn't have that problem. Simeon was not looking for more religion. He was looking for Jesus. He wasn't looking for another anointing or another baptism or another experience. He was looking for Jesus. Simeon wasn't looking for peace alone. He was looking for peace in Christ. So he didn't step outside of Christianity. He didn't step outside of Bible believing belief to find a peace. You can find peace in some meditation. But if you take the Jesus out, as soon as you walk away from the meditation, you're back to without peace. But to accept Christ is to have the peace that passes all understanding. The good news about Christ's peace that he gives is eternal. It's everlasting. Never goes away. Simeon was not looking for a new experience. He was looking for Jesus. And let me say this. If you're truly looking for him, he will reveal himself to you. I believe that with all my heart. I know pastors trying to find the sermon that's different this year than what last year. We go through this process right at the end, at the end of November, where we start looking for that next message where it's different than what it was last year. And if we keep seeking, God always shows us. Wise men still seek Jesus. You will find what you're looking. Make sure that what you find is what God wants you to find. Number three, Simeon encountered the fulfillment of law and grace. Now, this could become very complicated to some people, but we all understand that in the Old Testament, God gave his law, the Ten Commandments, to his people. And he said, you're supposed to do these things. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, body, soul, and mind. You're supposed to do this. Thou shalt not serve any other idols. Put the Lord thy God first. Don't bow down to any other thing. No graven images. And then he went on to talk about don't steal and don't covet and honor your parents. All these things was the law. And then the Jews added many things to them. And Moses led them to adding all these other things. And so they had a big book of law that they were supposed to keep. Well, what was the purpose for that? Well, it's call the herd, Pastor. Only those who are faithful will keep the law of God. Is that the case? Because Rahab came into that picture, and Ruth came into that picture, and others came into that picture. So it's not about that. What is it? What is the law to do? The law is to bring us to Christ. To understand that with all these rules and regulations, no matter how hard you try, you will fail trying to earn your way to heaven. No matter how much you do that's good, there's still that thought that you just had. There's still that thing that you haven't quite reconciled. And the best of men are men at best, and the wages of sin is death. So Simeon, following the duties of the law, doing all the things right that the priests do, he was praying for more. Can I tell all of us that Jesus brings the more to us? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, in fact, the key word for the book of Hebrews is better. Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus' word was better than the Aaronic priesthood's teaching. Everything about Jesus is better. And the greatest thing about Jesus is his grace. Because when you have Jesus, you don't need anything else. Because his grace is sufficient. Everything about Jesus is better. So Simeon had the majority of his life following, doing, working in this law of God, these responsibilities, but he couldn't wait for the day when he could lay down his book of laws and simply look into the eyes of Jesus. That's what you need to do too. He encountered the fulfillment of law and grace. Simeon was now satisfied. He was fulfilled. It's something the law could never do. Because you're always worried about breaking that next commandment. What kind of child is happy who's scared to say or move around their mother or father because they might get struck or they might get disciplined? Some Christians try to live that way. If I break a law, if I sin, God's going to punish me. That's under the law, but under the law of grace, under Christ, he understands. He suffered just like we did, and yet without sin. We have Christ. We have the fulfillment of law and grace. But when the fullness of time had come, the Bible says, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You see the difference? There's the law, and you could try to cross all the T's and dot the I's, or you could become a child of God and let Jesus do all the crossing of the T's and dotting the I's. Simeon said, I'm looking for Jesus. I'm waiting for the consolation of Israel when things will be better. Simeon encountered Christ because he was looking for him. He encountered the fulfillment of law and grace. And lastly, Simeon encountered Simeon was led to receive Christ. So his encounter led him to receive Christ. The Holy Spirit led him into the temple where he found Christ. The Holy Spirit filled him with the truth of prophecies, so he looked for Christ. The Holy Spirit led him to the very place where he needed to be, where Christ would come to him. And that's where we all have been or need to be. to where we would receive Christ. Verse 28, then took he up into his arms, he received him. Wouldn't it have been a terrible thing if Mary and Joseph would have brought the baby to Simeon and he would have said, wait a minute, he doesn't look like he's got a halo. He doesn't look like the Son of God. Nope, 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 I ain't going to receive him. Nope, I think he needs to look more like this. Or if he'll look just a little bit more like this, and maybe we'll consider it. I wonder if some people are rejecting Jesus because he doesn't look like he has a lot of money. I wonder who's rejecting Jesus because it doesn't look like he's very able to defeat their enemies. I wonder how many people have rejected Jesus because he's not what they think he ought to look like. Simeon knew that this child was the consolation of Israel, and he received him. You know, we say this, preachers say this when we're trying to lead somebody to Christ, but the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. In order to have the gift, you must receive it. And if somebody came to your house and said, listen, you can know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. Well, how can I know that? Because Jesus died on the cross and he paid for all your sins. Well, how can I know that? Because he died on the cross and rose again to prove that he is God and he lives forever and he'll save you and he'll forgive you, and you offer them that salvation. And they say, listen, buddy, I got to go to work. I don't have time. And you walk away and you present to somebody else. You go to somebody else's house and you say, listen, Jesus loves you. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And Jesus is in salvation. Would you like to receive him today? Look, buddy, I've got problems. I can't talk to you about religion and Jesus. I don't. And you have to leave that house and go to someplace else. And finally, you go to a house and they say, you know what? That sounds pretty good. I think I would like Jesus. I think I would enjoy having Jesus. I think my mother had peace because she had Jesus. I think my daddy was a good man because he finally found Jesus. Yes, I would like to have Jesus. Well, would you pray and ask Christ to forgive you? Well, listen, buddy, if you'll leave that gift right there, I will do that at another time. But boy, it sounds so good. You could leave Jesus there on the doorstep. And that dear person who wants to be sincere, wants to have the same salvation Mama had, wants to do the thing that's right, never does it. Now, wait a minute. Jesus is at the door. And they open the door and they step over Jesus and go on their way. The Bible says, and they that received him gave he power to become the sons of God, even if they believe on his name. You can say you believe it, but you're blue in the face. You don't believe it until you receive it. Because he's a gift. So think about the person that you love more than anybody on this earth. Think about the thing that if you gave them, they'd be so happy in all the world to have that one thing. Maybe it's a diamond ring. Maybe if you're a spouse to them, maybe that's something you ought to give. Maybe it's a new car. Maybe it's a fill in the blank. And you purchase it. You spend your own money and you buy that thing which the person you love more than anybody would love to receive, and you offer it to them. And they say, oh my goodness, that's so much love. I can't believe that you would do that for me. But I'm so undeserving. I've not always treated you right. I've not always loved you as much as you've loved me. I'm sorry, but I cannot accept such a gift. That's what people are doing to Jesus right now. He's beautiful. He's the Son of God. He's righteous. He's done all the things that needed to be done, but no. Simeon received the Lord. He brought him into his arms and he held him to his breast. And then he did three things. And these are the three things that you and I who have received Christ need to do. Number one, he sang a song. He gave this beautiful song unto God. It's a beautiful song of blessing. Simeon said to Joseph and Mary, he said, that which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and a glory of thy people Israel. From my understanding of that, it was a song that he sang in a melody there in the temple while he held Jesus. A song. What to do after receiving Jesus? Bless him with a song. After you get saved, sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm was blind, but now I offer that to Christ. Those who receive him sing a song. And number two, he thanked God for the peace that he gave. Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. I can tell you in my own salvation experience, the greatest comfort I had was that I had peace now. That even if I were to die, he would take me to heaven. I didn't have to worry about going to sleep. I had gone to sleep very nervous before that, even as a child, thinking that tragedy was going to happen. Now that I was saved, I had peace. When's the last time you thanked God for giving you the peace that you're a child of his? You're no longer lost, no longer a child of the devil, no longer do you suffer in that wondering if you are or if you're not. I know in whom I have believed, and I know he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Peace. Thank God for the peace. And then, of course, when you receive Jesus, you're ready to go. Ready to go. You say, well, I don't know if I'm ready to die yet. No, but if you did die today, do you know 100% sure you go to heaven? Well, the Bible says I do. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. Okay, well, then you're ready. You are ready for eternity. So we need to start living like it. Whether Simeon died that week or the week after, it wasn't long before he did pass. And when he passed, everything was okay. I'm sure he sang a song similar to the one he praised God, and it must have been like this. It is well, it is well with my soul. Mary magnified the Lord in her soul. Joseph, after he doubted, got his heart right, magnified God and named the child Jesus. Did you know that that dedication time was when the child received their actual literal name? So who are you in Christ? Since you have received him, you are a Christian, a Christ person. You should sing the same song. It is well. It is well. I have peace like a river. And it's the Holy Spirit that led me to right where Jesus was, taught me the words of God, led me the understanding that I'm a sinner, and that giving my sins to Jesus, who paid for them all on the cross, was receiving the salvation of the Lord. And now, I'm ready. If I were to die today, I'm ready. Can you say what Simeon said? Can you conclude what Simeon concluded? You can if you've received your Christmas consolation. Would you bow your heads, please? Our precious Savior, we know that you left heaven and came to this earth, and we have enjoyed now a few weeks of celebrating the birth of Christ. But Lord, I fear that millions of people believe in a manger scene, in a scene of nativity, yet die without the Christ of the nativity. May all who hear the gospel